Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
All right, everybody, on your feet. Let's go. The seventh inning. Let's dedicate this to the hardest working grounds crew in baseball. All right, Gary Pressey, a one, a two, a three. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. Let me
Dave Plyer back with you on 720 WGN. So this man needs no introduction. He has been the iconic voice of the national anthem at Wrigley Field for decades and for just about every Chicago Wolves home game, as well as one of the owners of the four-time league champion Chicago Wolves, and for many years also belted out the Star-Spangled Banner at the Chicago Blackhawks games as well. And now Wayne Mesmer joins us live in studio. Good evening to you, Wayne.
How do you do?
I am fabulous. I love we always randomly run into each other, and it's never at a Cubs game.
Usually at a bar, I believe.
It's a bar. Yeah. It's usually at a bar across the border, usually at a bar. Those were the days, 45th anniversary. We both did a little stage work up there.
Yeah, you mentioned that. And it's funny because we were very close to each other, and I don't recall having any delightful repartee.
We weren't on stage together at the same time, but we had a quick hello backstage. But yeah, you have? Yeah, what was that?
I don't even
remember myself.
I read a paragraph or two and tried not to be ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then quickly left because I think I had a hockey game.
You had something going on. But always great to sing. And this is what happened. This was in the beginning of summer. I went to a little favorite haunt of mine across the border, and I was sitting at the bar, and it was close to midnight. I think it was like 11, 12 o'clock, and I was sitting there with my cousin, and then we weren't facing the piano bar, and I said, that sounds like Wayne and Kathy Mesmer. I'm telling you, that's the Mesmers singing at the – and turn around, lo and behold, there you are. And that's relaxing for you. I mean, you enjoy that. That's just kind of chilling.
It's kind of what I do.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because people say, oh, do you only know one song? I've sung the Canadian anthem as well.
Okay.
You know, but I really love the old stuff. You know, I'm kind of the guy who's stuck in the Great American Songbook era.
Love that.
1938 to about 46, I think, is
your faves.
That's kind of my era.
Okay.
You know, like big double-breasted tuxedo,
mm-hmm.
wide satin lapels.
Yeah.
Looking sharp.
Exactly.
Big bow tie and, a big microphone and just coming up as the crooner and enjoying it.
So this is perfect that Don Rickles opened for you tonight.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I remember years ago, it was funny, because I had it was Steve Rosenblum who wrote in the newspaper, put a headline, Mesmer to open for Pearl Jam.
Hmm.
Fantastic. I remember getting that phone call. But it was just Eddie Vedder.
Okay.
Back in the stadium days when he was going to play something.
Oh.
And he says, hey, I'd love to do something here. And we'll have
Witty headline.
Yeah, we'll have Wayne open it up for us.
That's nice. I like that. Well, you know, I was looking, you know, at your background. I know you went to Thomas Kelly High School where you were heavily involved in music, the school band, musical productions. What piqued your interest to sing and, like, get into all that?
Singing and acting, particularly if you sing on stage, the chicks dig it.
So that's what it was.
You know, you
I think you're right. Oh, yeah, you're right.
You know, you make that discovery. Mm-hmm. I remember I was just a regular guy. It was high school was cool.
Yeah.
College is when the singing with a big band and doing jobbing and all that stuff really started. And, you know, then people say, hey, man, that sounds great. All right, well, let's do it again.
Well, and you got your degree in music education, but then you got your master's in counseling at Loyola Psychology at LaSalle. You run a financial planning investment firm on top of that. Many, many, many hats. But you keep your eyes focused on your music.
I'm a musician first.
Yeah, okay.
And everything else second.
Sure.
You know, and I very competently play the accordion. And
oh, that's awesome.
You know, there are gentlemen who say that the definition of a gentleman is a person who plays the accordion but chooses not to.
Hmm.
And okay. I don't find that to be humorous.
Okay.
You know, it's funny because when you take the accordion out of the box, people, hey, what do you play, a polka? No. And then you start playing samba before you know it. You've got yourself a party. And, you know, Uncle Fred over there, who was the naysayer,
yeah,
is singing louder than anyone else.
He's loving it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stomach Steinway, I call it.
Do you remember the first song you sang publicly?
Yes.
What was it?
It was leaving on a jet. Well, no. When I, you know, kind of professional. First time I was paid.
Yeah, let's
to sing.
It. Yeah, sure.
Was at Illinois Wesleyan in Bloomington, and it was Mom's weekend, and they needed some entertainment. So nobody else could do it. So they asked me, "Can you put something together?" So I got a trio together, and the first song was "Leaving on a Jet Plane." I recall. I couldn't wait for the song to end. I was pretty sure I was going to get sick. You know, but you get over it. The first song I really sang was back in high school, probably like, "Kids, I don't know what's wrong with these kids today," because I was Mr. McAfee in Bye Bye Birdie at Kelly High School.
It's amazing that those songs that you first sang are so iconic. You remember those first moments in life.
Well, you do. You also remember if they were kind of cool songs.
Yeah, gotcha.
You know, I'm a musical guy who loves all that stuff. Kathleen and I are just, you know, crazy about musicals. We just saw on its final day, we waited till the very last day to see Newsies.
Oh, yeah.
Recently. And loved it.
Yeah.
Still haven't seen Book of Mormon.
Oh, wow. Really? It's a great, yeah.
I know.
Yeah, yeah. You got to catch that before it leaves town. National Anthem. When was the first time somebody said, like, where did that come about? Like, how did that happen?
It was, let's see, it was a...
Loyola University?
It was Loyola. Okay. You know that. Did I tell you that?
No, I just do my research, my friend.
It was Loyola University in Franklin Park. And it was a hockey game, and they had been playing against whomever. And I was a graduate student, and a lot of my buddies were on the team. And I said, "Hey, how about I do the public address?" You know, that kind of stuff. And thought it was fun because I had a college radio background. And so I was doing the PA, and we played a cassette recording of Kate Smith.
Yeah, classic, and, of course.
And Kate wasn't up to it that night.
Okay. Cassette tape didn't work, huh?
Tape went...
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
Kate kind of petered out, and we said, "Well, we got to do something." I said, "I'll sing it." So I just sang it.
So you
and everybody
did.
Goes, "What?" You know, because I didn't play all my cards my cards.
And you belted that out. And that was in the early 70s, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, early 70s. Now, singing professionally at sporting events, you know, everyone associates you with the Cubs and the Wolves, but was it the Sting that was really your first? Okay.
Yeah, I was at a radio station right up the block, and... an old, the ill-fated WXFM.
Oh, right, yeah.
105.9, yeah. And I was doing classical overnight. How's that for a snoozer?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it...
So you know what it's like overnight, so this is refreshing to be back, right?
No kidding. Overnight in Chicago is awesome.
It is awesome.
It is magnificent.
Especially when you're talking 50,000 watts, 37 states. It's amazing when I see texts come in and so forth that I'm getting it from Austin, Texas. I'm getting it from Atlanta, Nashville, Minneapolis. It's everywhere. You really are filled with a lot of friends and a lot of company, aren't you?
Oh, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I enjoyed doing that for a long time. Then it changed to jazz. Then I started doing music, old-time radio and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
A three-hour show. WXFM, old-time radio show. Hey, good buddy. And I, you know, would play all the stuff that Steve Darnell and, you know, Chuck Shaden for many years played.
Yeah.
So that was fun. But I was working at that station. That's a heck of a long way to get to the answer. And the Sting was also housed in the same building.
Okay. All right.
333.
Okay. All right.
North to Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, which is where the Commissioner of Baseball, Commissioner Landis, had his office.
Oh,
did you know that?
I don't think I knew that. No. Yeah. Not at all. Wouldn't have thought that at all.
I'm glad I came in. Now you're really happy. I'm
glad I came in.
Yeah. So. Yeah, well. You know, and so I went down at a Christmas party. few floors down and said, hey, I'd love to sing at one of your indoor soccer games at Chicago Stadium. Yeah, that'd be great. No, really, I would. You know. No, we should. And I think they thought it was going to be one of those DJ versions.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, say, God.
Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah.
like, no, 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 no. And they liked God Bless America, Lee Stern. And so that's what I sang. I did it for about many, many years until their final demise after two championships.
Yeah,
and,
right.
Indoor and outdoor. It was fun, man. It was fun.
And at the same time, you kind of started up with the Blackhawks. It was, what, 13 seasons with the Hawks?
I did, 13 wonderful seasons okay. at Old Chicago Stadium.
Okay.
That was amazing.
And part of that, you know, that we all kind of embrace today of the cheering, the mass cheering that went mm-hmm. on, that didn't start recently. That started in the 80s
yeah,
with you, right?
It started in 1985. Okay. And, it, you know, I just yeah. happened to be the guy singing. I didn't, filibuster to have people scream. Mm-hmm. If I would have said anything, I would have said, hey, hold it down. I'm trying to sing here. But, it became a thing, and it became a very emotional
yeah.
and a very...
Still today, oh yeah.
A traditional thing, so it's quite an honor to still have that going.
And you did a little bit with the White Sox, too, so when I think about...
I did. All,
and you've done it for other sports venues in town, too. You're kind of the Jack Brickhouse of... Because he did it all, too.
Hey,
when I think about that, right?
But, oh, yeah. Jack, you know, I loved him. And that's one of the coolest things about being in, this business or something, or here, in this building, with these call letters,
yeah.
with
yeah.
just the opportunity, or somebody comes up and calls you by name when you're about to go introduce yourself to them.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, whoa.
Yeah, isn't that something?
And I get that all the time, and I forget. And my business partner, who's a wonderful guy, in the Wayne Messmer & Associates, our financial business, Jim Geek, says, you forget who you are sometimes. He says that to me. And,
interesting.
You know, I'm like, well, and that could be really taken the wrong way. Like, in other words, hey, don't forget who you are.
Yeah.
But, I don't ever try and budge in the front of the line. I don't, don't you know who I am? Yeah, you're afraid somebody's going to say no.
I'm going to go back to Jack. You knew Jack.
Yeah.
I missed that era of knowing him. I met him once, at Wrigley, actually, but I never got to know him. But I've gotten to know Pat over the years, and mm-hmm. now I'm hearkening back to seeing you at some of her charity outings and
sure.
talking to you
oh,
at
yeah.
some of those things, because I attended
yeah.
as well and helped her out. And yeah.
yeah,
yeah, sweet lady.
Yeah, different restaurants here and there.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
She was still hustling.
Oh, yeah.
Showing that
she's full of fire.
Yeah,
yeah.
I got it, honey. Don't worry.
Yeah, don't mess with Pat.
Yeah, let me get the door for you. Whoa. I'm on your side, honey.
Right.
I love her. I have a great picture of the two of us and hugging at Wrigley Field. She's wearing
that's cool.
Brick House jersey.
Of course.
Jersey,
of course.
Naturally.
Yeah.
But Jack was a beauty. Beauty. He did all that stuff, with White Sox, and don't forget, we got the Cubs coming up, and then the Bears.
He was always working.
For years,
yeah.
Bill Wade, 1st and 10.
Classic voice.
Yeah. Just... Hand off to Caceres, right side. He's taken down.
All classic voices in Chicago. We're talking to the iconic voice of the Chicago Cubs and the Chicago Wolves, Wayne Messmer. And there's much more next on 720 WGN.
In the wee small hours of the morning, while the whole wide world is fast asleep, you lie awake and think about the girl, and never ever think of counting sheep.
It's Dave Player back with you on 720 WGN. We're talking to Chicago's very own Wayne Messmer. The association with the Cubs, when did that all start?
Yeah, so I did 3 years with the White Sox, 82, 3, and 4, including 83, which is when they won their division
yeah.
by 20 games.
Yeah.
Oh, it was great. Roland Heeman, Tony La Russa. I mean, a whole gang of wonderful ball players. And a great experience. 84, they tanked. And then had the option to make a move. I was working morning radio.
Yeah.
and doing night games and living in Buffalo Grove and doing night games on this south side.
That's a lot of running around,
So really the attraction for all day games back then was kind of appetizing.
Yeah.
So I, you know, made the move, and for 32 years, including 32 consecutive opening days.
Amazing.
I've been standing there.
Amazing. Well, we ran into each other in the beginning of the summer, and one of the things about, as I was sitting at the bar and noticing that you were sitting there with your lovely wife belting out some fabulous tunes, my other cousin starts texting me, hey, we were at the Cubs game today. And the first photo he sends me, as iconic as he's showing me Chris Bryant and Arrieta and whoever's out in the field, he sends me the picture of, hey, look, we were right there. We said hi to Wayne Mesmer.
I said,
Wayne Mesmer.
Yeah,
and I said, here, check this out. You and I did a quick selfie and sent it back to him. We're going to one-up him.
That's pretty weird.
It was pretty weird. It was very bizarre.
And people don't quite get it. I just saw you over here. Weren't you at the game today?
Yeah.
You know, or on a few occasions I've done the Bears.
Yeah.
And then hopped in the car and made it for a 120 at Wrigley just to do that.
How exciting, though.
Are you kidding?
That is phenomenal.
It's the best, my friend.
It is the best.
I paid more attention than the rest of the kids in my second grade class the day they taught the anthem, apparently.
But here's the thing, too. I don't think people understand. Now, you're also very iconic, you know, with the Wolves games, but people don't know that you're a founding member of the organization. You own part of the team, senior executive vice president from the very beginning.
I'm sorry, I'm not wearing a tie, but for those of you listening, I'm wearing a gabardine suit. Yeah, what an opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, to sit down with a wonderful, just the most generous man I've ever known is Don Levin, whose money it is that allows the Chicago Wolves to happen. And at the time, Buddy Myers, who's still vice chairman, and Grant Mulvey, former Blackhawk, the only guy to score 5 goals in 1 game. And I was doing the PA announcing for the Blackhawks that day, by the way.
Wow,
you know.
That's pretty cool.
That was neat. Blackhawk goal, number 22.
That's amazing.
His 5th of the game.
Yeah.
So that was fun that we spent that time together. Grant has since moved on to other areas, but we've moved forward, and we're working on the 23rd year.
That's amazing.
Of the Wolves.
And then let's think about that. It was 1994. 1994 was also a big life-changing moment for you.
Yes. Nearly life-ending.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I've talked so much about that incident. I can tell it in real time, and you can imagine that it sends ripples through the stream of life. That walking back to a parked car, actual time. Get to my car, and I see a young man walking down the street, about 4 car lengths down. I open the door, get in, sit down, keep my eye on him, and I hear pow, pow, pow. Like, what is that? Whoa, what is that? Because the third sound I heard, I thought it was 3 gunshots. And I thought, I'm getting out of here.
Yeah.
So I had my car started, and as I was already pulling out, it turns out I find out about 4 years later, finally, that the first 2 sounds were a young man who snuck up behind me, whom I never heard, never saw, never said a word, banged on the window right next to my ear twice. Boom, boom. And when I pulled out, pulls the trigger. 9mm. Point blank in the neck. What do you do? You hit the gas.
What do you do? Absolutely.
You hit
the hell out of there.
You know? Exactly.
Yeah.
And I tell people, I don't know what your faith life is all about. And I don't need to, you know, impose mine on yours. But if you want to shake hands, you're touching somebody who was touched by a miracle.
Yeah, and you've said that before, and I've heard you talk about this incident so many times, but you never really thought about the fact that you wouldn't sing again. You just figured, well, you're gonna get through this. You were determined.
I was, but it wasn't at that moment.
Yeah.
That moment I thought, what I do for a living may have come to an abrupt end.
Yeah.
But who I was wasn't going to change. See, and that's what I talk about a lot. I do a lot of corporate association speaking. And I basically call it the spirit of a champion. I tell my story. I tell lessons learned. I tell lessons that we can all apply. And put some music in there, too.
Yeah.
So it's words and music. Wayne Messmer.
Motivational.
Yeah.
Very motivational.
And entertaining, too. I hope, you know, I'd love to be able to juggle, but I can't.
Yeah. But then they call it the comeback anthem, but you did that opening day for the Wolves. First game ever, right?
True. Yeah. October 14th. 6 months
you were there.
And 5 days later.
Yeah.
I was told it'd be a year and a half to 2 years.
That's amazing.
Before I would know what the speaking voice, let alone the singing voice, and nobody said I'd ever be able to sing again.
Yeah.
So it's tough to ruin my day. I stand out.
That's a good way of putting it, absolutely.
I was out there, I do like 32 games or so this year.
Yeah.
And I'll be out, you know, soon again, you know. And
and you say only 32, but the world believes you're there every day.
But I'm doing I'm doing more this year than last because I wanted to be at more games this year.
Yeah, of course.
You know?
Hello. I'd want to be there too. You betcha. Yeah.
The beauty of incumbency.
Yeah.
I get to pick my games early in the season.
Sure.
So, or before the season. So, but, you know, I stand there and I just start singing and it's an out-of-body experience sometimes.
Oh.
And the same thing happens to me when I'm doing the club stuff or a piano bar or working with a trio or even working a solo show that I often do and do some keyboard and some tracks as well. But
well, and all that. Okay, so owner, executive of the Wolves, singing the national anthem at Wrigley, you know, the Wolves, you own your own financial company. You wrote a book, and the book, The Voice of Victory, And you have a fabulous CD that you have out as well from a couple years ago, right, with Judy Roberts, who's a really good friend of yours.
She's one of my best, dearest friends. I respect her so much. She's a great example of the bandwagon that I'm on now, of saying in the 1960s, you'd play a gig and the club owner would give you a bill of some kind, and not to pay, but it would be one kind of monetary bill.
Yeah.
And he's, oh, man, I'm cool, all right. 70s, he hands you the same bill. 80s, same bill. 90s, same bill. You know, and I'm kind of on a kick because I've been doing a lot more music myself recently. Doing some jazz festivals and regular gigs, you know.
Yeah,
and
around town. Yeah.
Yeah, fun stuff. We're working with a 16-piece big band. My friend Bill O'Connell,
who's feel beautiful
got the Chicago Skyliners big band, and we get together, and he says, hey, why don't we call it the Wayne Messmer Big Band? I'm thinking you've had this band for 30 years. How's that for a guy putting his ego aside?
That's amazing.
You know what I mean?
Amazing, yeah.
And these are the kind of guys that I love. Hard-working people. Greg Fishman, who's Judy's husband, magnificent. And that I want to tell a little story about that CD,
please.
Too. We went into the studio one day after bugging each other for probably 2.5 years. She plays half a year in Scottsdale, and she's back here in Chicago. And it's always, when are we going to do something? How about next week? I can't do it.
Kind of like you and me all summer. When we get together and talk on the air.
Right. It's better if you say, whatever we do, let's not get together. Then we'll accidentally bump into each other.
Yeah, exactly.
So we picked a date and went over to the now sadly gone Studio Media, wonderful little studio in Evanston. And we spent the day together with the mics open. And he's like, well, man, how long did you guys rehearse for this? We basically called the song the key and the tempo.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
Because that's who she is.
It speaks to your talent.
And I know, we had also worked together for, you know, enough to know each other. But it's amazing because after the session was over, I said, I'm going to tell you something. And it's might be kind of creepy, but I'm wearing the shoes that I was wearing the night I was shot.
Interesting. Okay.
I mean,
yeah.
And not to be like Svengoolish, but it's
no, but
it was a man. I have walked around the block.
Yeah.
And it took me,
but it symbolized
longer,
something to
but
you.
Here I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and you know, she gets all verklempt.
Yeah.
And it was a moment, and I think we capture some beautiful stuff, and then we do get a chance to work together. And she understands from a vocal standpoint, and any of you singers out there will know what I'm talking about. If you think of the voice as this delicate feather, you know, that if you're a jazz singer, you want to take some turns and you don't want too many, you know, guardrails.
Okay.
Your accompanist's job is to either whoosh or whatever. Keep that afloat. Never touch it. You know, that's what Judy does.
And that's what Judy does.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you got coming up? Appearances and all this good stuff. I know Cubs, your next Cubs game, because I put it down here, which I will be at that game. I'm so excited about being at that game. Wednesday, August 31st is your next Cubs game.
That would be an evening game.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
On a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. We could have our picture taken.
Well, let's do that. Let's do that. I'll get out in the field. We'll talk.
Okay.
We'll hang out. I'm bringing my pastor and my former pastor with me.
Oh, then I can't use any dirty words.
They love old style. No, they'll be fine, really.
Oh, really?
they'll be fine. They'll be fine. And again, for more on Wayne, his appearances, all that good stuff, WayneMesmer.com, Facebook, and Twitter, too. What a pleasure. I'm glad we did this, and we got to do it again.
Yeah, I don't mind staying up and... you know, another cup of coffee. Maybe I'll see you on the morning show, too. I don't know.
I like that. I like that. Yeah. And I got to tell you, I'm hoping to hear you postseason also.
Wouldn't that be nice?
I think that'd be fabulous. I'd like to see some baseball continue in Chicago in October, and I think it will.
It's just so fun.
It will.
Hey, this has been a pleasure.
Thanks, Wayne. Appreciate it. All right, much more ahead on 720 WGN.